Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on episode 332 of Wheel Bearings, we've got the winners of the North American Car, Truck, and Utility Vehicle of the Year awards for 2024, the Cadillac Escalade Diesel, the BMW X7, Ford messes with lightning prices again. Only a few EVs are still eligible for IRA tax credits. There's a new track-focused version of the Porsche Taycan coming that is 26 seconds a lap faster around the Nürburgring. Motor Trend drives the BYD Seal. Stellantis is done with auto shows. Total cost of ownership for EVs varies a lot. And Tesla lowers the range estimates on most of its vehicles. All that and more coming up next. This is episode 332 of Wheel Bearings. I'm Sam Abual-Samet from Guidehouse Insights.
I'm Nicole Wakeland from The Road Reflected.
And I am Roberto Baldwin from SAE International.
And before I forget again, as I mostly do, I just want to remember to thank all of our patrons who support us directly through our Patreon, patreon.com/wheelbearings. You're all great. We love you.
You're fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. And for those of you who aren't patrons yet, why not?
Give us money.
We appreciate you as much.
No ads. if you join Patreon. All right. Enough of that. Let's begin. What have you been driving, Robbie?
Oh, I've been driving a car. Finally. I've been driving the 2023 BMW X7. I know it's 2024. It was in the fleet. I said, yeah, sure, I'll take that car. And that's how I ended up.
It's carryover for 24.
It's the same car.
They might have changed a color or two or something like that.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. As far as I can remember, I haven't driven this version of the X7. It's so comfortable and smooth that I kept thinking something was a little bit wrong. Like, wait, what's going on? You know, like if you have a flat tire.
Are you expecting a BMW to be not comfortable and not smooth?
No, it was just like extra comfortable and smooth for its size versus like other. I thought, I'm like, wait, is the tire? You know how when your tires is low and when you turn, the car kind of it feels like the car is like kind of floating on something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It felt a little like that until I got used to it. And then I just realized, no, that's just a smooth ride. Settle down, Robbie. You've lost your mind. So the X7, front seat's totally fine. Second row, cool. Third row, I'm not sitting back there. You could put like a child back there. It's a three row SUV. It's their big one. I got the xDrive 40i, which is the less powerful version. They also have the more I need my friends and my neighbors to know I'm a big car person. It's just the M60i, which rolls with a V8, you know, if that's your jam. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to sort of tell people, especially when it comes to SUVs, you don't need the big one. It's got an inline six, which is like, you know, BMW is famous for their inline six. Just get the turbo inline six.
The inline six, I will continue to say is the best form factor for an internal combustion engine.
Oh yeah, best motor mm-hmm. you can get out there. So just get the three. It's a 3 liter twin turbo, or twin power turbo inline six. Just get that. You don't need all that extra power from the V8 and it's unnecessary, especially for a vehicle this large. And there was never a point where I was driving this vehicle, even in like comfort mode, where I didn't feel like, oh no, if I don't, I got to be careful so I can get up to speed on the freeway. I ended up, sadly, for BMW, I used it to go to the dump.
That's a heck of a dump run.
I had some, like, just from fancy things that I need to, no, not fancy. I said some things I'd take to the dump. And I was like, oh, like, you know what? They'll fit in the back of the BMW. So I put a big drop cloth down that I use for the cars because I don't want to scratch. I don't want to be that guy who, like, scratches up or, you know, maims the car's interior. It's great for dump runs. You can raise the suspension. So I was like really high, riding real high. It had – okay, so this – again, we don't need the big wheels. Settle down, everybody.
Did you have on there 22s?
It had the big wheels. They had the 23s, not the 22s. 23s. $2,600. Giant 23s. Just huge, huge, teeny tiny little sidewall. And I was just, and the whole time I'm driving it, all I can remember is the last BMW, which was the, I believe the X5, where I drove over a curb at,
oh gosh.
And there was like a little piece of metal, like on the edge of the curb that I didn't see, and it like cut the sidewall. And I had to, like, you know, put it, but I was just like, I just get more, and, you know, and then I had that, the EQE that, like, cause it had a small sidewall. Like I hit what do you call those holes in the road?
Potholes. Those holes in the road.
They're the size of a pot. They're kind of like shaped like a pot. They're holes. Oh, I can't think of what they're called. The pothole. I hit a pothole.
It's called a Michigan hole.
A Michigan hole.
Just call that roads here in New Hampshire.
Yeah. We call those roads. I hit a pothole during a rainstorm, and that ended up. It's always like these tiny little wheels, and I'm just like. I know. I understand why A, designers really like them. B, people like them because they look cool. But just get the smaller wheel, the larger sidewall. And
tires are expensive enough as it is.
They're so expensive.
Having to needlessly replace them because you clipped a curb or got the edge of a pothole and it blew it out. Spending several hundred dollars on another tire, and especially when you're talking about, these 22, 23, 24 inch tires, those things get really expensive.
They're really expensive. Yeah, and it always ends up being a sidewall like puncture, which if you get a puncture like in the treads, you're fine. You can take it to a place.
Survive it.
Yes. You pay somebody like 20, 30, 50 bucks. They stick a little.
It's not much. At least around here, it's around like $15.
I think it was like $30 here. I live in California, so it was like $30. We had to do it on the Kona. Every once in a while, that tire's a little bit lower than the others. Whatever.
Just every now and then.
But if I had punctured the sidewall on the Kona, or which actually had happened because a piece of metal slashed into it that was left on the freeway. You have to buy a whole new tire. You can't save that. That's gone. It's gone forever. And with these tiny little sidewalls, you're more I feel like you're more likely than not having, to replace the entire tire if something.
And there's also a very high probability that in a situation like that, when you hit a pothole or something like that,
you're
not just going to damage the tire, but also the wheel. Right.
Which makes me just nervous as hell.
Which is even worse. Yeah.
So, big, heavy vehicles. With teeny tiny little, it's just like a belt, like strapped around a chunk of like expensive metal rolling down the road. I'm just going to say, unless you were, I don't know, if you get like a really fancy car and you're going to show it off to your friends and that's your deal, then sure. But I think everyone else just get the smaller wheel, the larger sidewall. You'll be fine.
You'll be happier in the end.
You'll be so much happier in the end.
Listen to Robbie's advice.
Listen, it's like everyone in high school had that. We all had, our cars were all like lowered and we had big wheels and all this stuff. And then you fast forward like 5 years and you have other bills. You still had that car and it's still lowered, but it's like. You can tell the person just doesn't wash it every week anymore. And they're like trying to figure out, like, some of my friends like cut their springs. I was like, oh my God. Or, and so now the car's like driving a little cockeyed because at some point that was a bad idea. Later on down the road when you have your car, like, think about long term. I have my car for 5, 6, 10 years.
It looked cool when I got it.
That said, BMW i drive 8 is their infotainment system is, yeah, it works nice. It works well. I could not find, but here's the word. I could not find what my miles per gallon was.
You couldn't find it on this.
I couldn't find it. I could see the trip and it's still how far.
It is hard to find, you know, that kind of data in the BMW infotainment system.
The best part of this, you can't see it, but Robbie's holding up his hands like, I don't know.
I'm just shrugging. I was looking for it because I was like, oh, I should get the numbers. And I went out to the car and I used to have a Mini. So you have to, people don't realize that on the left stock, there's a little button you have to press.
On the end of it.
So I'm doing that. And I'm just like, it's not showing me more information. It's just saying, hey, you drove this far, this many miles, and use some gas.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't do like
gas
the calculation.
Was consumed.
And I was like pushing buttons and the end, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, you know, if you have the number of gallons and the number of miles.
It doesn't give me the perfect percentage of gas left in the car. It's just like that little bar. It's like, anyway, the car gets 22 miles per gallon, 21 city or combined 21 city, 25 highway. Sure.
for a car the size of the X7, that's actually not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good for a giant. My old WRX from 2002 got 12 miles per gallon. So this is better. And you could haul literally everyone you know if you don't have a lot of friends. What else did they have? Oh, it had the little cooler and heater cup holders.
Oh, nice.
I love those so much. That's the most. They're the most bougie thing that I absolutely love.
Because
I put my soda in there and I put the little cooler thing on.
What color was your X7?
It was like this gray color, the sparkling copper metallic.
Was it really called sparkling copper metallic?
Yeah, it's like a grayish color. It's still here. They're supposed to pick it up. I don't know what's going on. I think they'll be here like while we're recording.
Oh yeah.
It's grayish. Okay. It's fine. It looks nice.
How is that sparkling copper if it's gray? Is it copper colored? This is not copper colored.
It's got an ever so subtle hint of copperish red.
It was like, again, back to my WRX. My WRX was midnight blue. And when I bought it, I'm like, oh, black. And then after I had it for a month, I saw it. Oh, if you looked in the sun, it had blue sparkles in it, but it looked black. Yeah.
Okay. Which I'm like, I'll believe you, but every single image that came up on my Google search.
It's just gray. I didn't have any issues with it. It handles far better than a vehicle that size should. I took it on not the crazy twisties that I would take like a sports vehicle. A sports car vehicle. Vehicle to do sports. Sports car. I did really well. You know, it's a really big vehicle that feels smaller than it is. You're going to get 22 miles per gallon and it's a lot, you know, starts at $77,850. The one I got, $95,745. So, everyone kept asking me, how much is it? I'm like, probably about 100, because I usually look at the price afterwards. Because I'm like, that's what I feel like. That's what they're, and that's what it is. It's about $100,000 for this car, with all the crazy stuff like the giant $2,600 rims and the executive package, which has the cup holders. You have to get the, you know, and then it also has gesture control, which boo, who cares? But it also has the Harman Kardon surround system and the glass controls, which sure. So that's like almost $4,000.
What are the glass controls?
I have no idea. I guess
what does that even mean?
I think it holds your glasses in your face.
Okay.
Keeps.
I don't know.
Like a little arm comes out and just touches right between the.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like in the Jerk. Control?
Maybe it's just roll the windows up and down.
Wait, what does that mean? Glass.
I don't know.
Is it the touchscreen system? Glass to make stuff happen.
Oh, maybe it's the this overhead, do they have it doesn't matter. Anyway, it's $4,000. If you're buying a giant BMW like this and X7.
It converts the shifter into a beautiful piece of glass which houses an illuminated letter X in the center.
Oh, really?
That's what it is? My random Google. I'm like Did it do that?
Yeah, I mean no, it just has the glass. It's just it's like BMW's little thing. I've seen it on a bunch of BMWs, so I don't know if
it looks really cool.
I mean, it's so small. And it's just,
I mean, it looks very fancy.
You look at it once or twice when you start.
You're like, okay, fine, whatever.
The car. The heated and cooled cup holders might be worth the $4,000, but
I think that's the coolest. I love that. I want like much like the first time I ever experienced heated seats. I was like, and a heated steering wheel like years ago. I was like, this is silly. Who needs this? I'm like, oh, everyone needs this. These are amazing. Now I'm like, this cup holder business is ridiculous. Now I'm looking at it and going, this is the most brilliant thing ever.
I wish it wasn't part of the executive package. I wish you could just pay $500 for it.
Just to have the cup holders.
Just have the cup holders. I mean, I think the Harman Kardon surround sound system, that's if you're cool. A big audiophile, that's great.
Yeah.
Would you consider paying $8 a month? For the heated
for it? No, I don't have. See, that's the thing is, like, I would rather just pay up front and then be done with it, rather, because I have too many subscriptions. Subscription fatigue, people. I'm paying for too many things, and every month I'm like, I don't need that anymore. Boop. And so I'm just like cutting them down, killing them over.
That would still be like a grand. Like, say you kept your car for 11 years, maybe like $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just give them $500. If I only have the car for 5 years, they're making out. Well, I guess they don't make out. Either way, the subscription for like just things like this. I can understand like you know when level three autonomy works like large, you know, is more, or level four autonomy is out there and you can subscribe to it for like 1 month because you're doing like a cross country trip. I'm like, all right, I'll pay the $50 because I have to drive to, I don't know, Pennsylvania or something. But the most part, I wouldn't use that all day. I barely use the ADAS systems on all the cars that I get, but I use them and I test them out. But unless I'm stuck in traffic, which I'm rarely stuck in traffic because I don't commute, I don't really use those. I just turn them, like, once I'm out of traffic, I just turn everything off and then just go back to driving. Like, we don't have adaptive cruise control in our Kona, so I never use it. And then, you know, my first car that had cruise control.
Well, it'd be hard to use it if you don't have it.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I guess the adaptive part is just my wife screaming, we're about to hit something. It's just the passenger scream. No. Oh, okay. Let me roll, slow down. There we go. But overall, if you're looking for a big, fancy SUV, it's really comfy driving around, the and handles pretty well and gets 22 miles per gallon combined, the X7. Woo-hoo. There you go.
Not bad. Not bad.
Good job, BMW.
Nice work. Right.
Good job.
Well, Nicole, do you have any additional thoughts on the Accord?
I don't. I've driving? Had the Accord now forever. Like, normally it's a 2 week loan at Christmas, and for some reason it's three. So I'm just living with the Accord life now. it's doing just fine. Well, I'm going to get to drive it though I'm going to do a New England thing in some wicked, wicked bad snow this weekend. It's supposed to be
wicked bad.
It's supposed to be a foot of snow on Sunday. And I think I'm actually going to take it out in the snow and see what happens. I mean, I'm going to keep it in one piece, but I'm just really curious in an honest to God snowstorm.
You got a set of snow socks to put on it for when you get stuck?
I should have snow socks for when I get stuck. That is a negative attitude.
Well,
that is,
I mean, negative. If you're getting a foot of snow, yeah. You know, if the roads haven't been plowed, you know, well, the Accord has significantly less than 1 foot of ground clearance.
You can do it.
I can. That's, I feel like I can now. Is it. That a challenge? Was that a gauntlet thrown challenge?
Yes. I feel like you'll be fine.
Consider the gauntlet thrown.
Okay, no. So it'll be a picture of me front in
wheel
the
drive.
Yeah,
you can do that. You can do that in summers. You'll be fine.
It'll be fine. I think I have all seasons. I should probably look at that before I take it out. Just
double check that. Yeah,
I'm gonna glance at that first.
On an Accord, it's almost certainly all seasons.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. It is.
There's like it's the all season type car. Everything is all seasons all the time.
Is perfect. I do really enjoy it. I mean, I've driven it now quite a bit. I drove it back and forth.
It's now your car.
The airport. And now it's mine. It's mine now. No one else can have it. It's funny because you've
probably driven it more than you've driven the Charger in the last year.
Truly.
Oh, poor Charger.
When I was driving it today, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I actually don't have to think about driving this. Like, I know where everything is now because I've been driving it for 3 weeks.
Oh, I had the Type R once like that. And then the last night I had it, someone stole the rims off. Are the wheels off?
Well, hopefully no one's.
They leave it on cinder blocks or something? Or?
Yeah, they stuck it on two cinder blocks, so it was like a teeter totter.
You're kidding? Did they really?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm gonna send the picture to y'all.
Okay.
And then you can put it in the show notes. I thought I was never getting another car again when this happened.
Oh, but that's totally not your fault.
Yeah, I mean that happens.
Like, what is the? I know, but it was
especially if you're in the Bay Area.
Yeah. No, I lived in a super crazy nice like part of town when this happened. It was I would park it in a better part of town and then walk to my apartment, and it was still the cops were like, yeah, they just followed you.
And I had a Lincoln Navigator broken into on Market Street in San Francisco.
Really?
Yeah. They just smashed the rear quarter window.
Trying to steal something inside? Did you leave
something? They pulled out my backpack from the back. My backpack was in the back in the cargo area. They pulled my backpack out through there and took off and stole my work laptop.
Can't leave things in your car. That's the first rule of city living.
Yeah. Well, especially in San Francisco.
In San Francisco. Yeah.
Well, it makes you feel better. I've had cars broken into in Kansas City and L.A. Actually, a lot in L.A. They broke into like our locked, gated area in L.A. to break shit, to steal stuff out of my car.
These aren't even cinder blocks. They're like paver bricks.
Wait, did you send us the picture? Am I missing
it? Yeah, it's in the chat.
Chat. Let's see.
I'll put this in the show notes.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, they are.
I'm surprised it didn't just because it's on the narrow side of these paver blocks. Oh, I'm surprised it didn't just tip over. Just
nip, yeah,
you can see right where on. they left the lug nuts there too.
Yeah.
Oh, that was nice.
Because they just pulled them off. Like they had a whole system, and then I saw my friend there. It was I found out from later on that it was where I lived was like the border for like the Russian mafia and the Chinese mafia. And so these young kids would just go around and feel like they were, you know, they could do whatever they wanted. And so they did this to a couple of cars.
Wow.
Cop was like, yeah.
San Francisco police sitting behind it.
Yeah, it's the cops.
Yeah.
It's just this shiny, perfect little car. And wow. I can't even imagine walking out my door and seeing that. I'd have a heart attack.
They had like video of them on like that house's.
Did they really?
Yeah. So I don't know if they got caught or whatever. It's not my car. So I don't have, you know, at the end of the day, I don't have information about it. But
so did you go out and find
everyone but me thought it was hilarious. Like did Honda was like, oh, no, no, I got a call.
So I was going to say, because you would drive by and see that and be like, oh, God, that guy's car. Like, I'm wondering.
No, I got a call from the fleet manager. He called me because Honda had called him because the police were calling Honda because the car was in Honda's, you know, it belongs to Honda.
Right, oh, so right. the police saw it, pulled the license plate number and realized it was registered to Honda.
Honda called the fleet manager calls me and he's like, and I was staying home so they could pick it up. And he's like, hey, have you seen the Type R this morning? I'm like, no. He's like, yeah, we got a call from the SFPD
want to go out and take a look.
Like,
oh no. And that car, and it turns out that that thing is just, you know what, of all the cars I've had, that was the one I was outside of like McLaren or Lamborghini, which I really don't like having at my house, to be honest. I like driving the cars, but like they make me nervous having
them. Nervous, yeah.
But this car was the one that I was really, really paranoid about. When I went and visited family, my sister's boyfriend at the time, he's like, do you want to park this in the garage? Shown up with like Audis, with Mercedes-Benz, with BMWs, with, you know, all these other vehicles, and no one cared. But this vehicle, it's just like a giant target for, you know.
So what do you do then? Do you have to, I guess, how do you do that?
They put new wheels on it.
So do you have to like hold it, leave one side, just went and
got four
put
donuts.
Yeah,
they just put it under it, and then they put
They put new wheels on it, and you know, put new wheels and flatbedded it away. So it was aging out. It was aging out of the fleet. So I ended up getting it for like a long time. I was talking to the Honda person. I'm like, I just need to drive it for like a day, and he's like, I have one, and it's mileaging out, which means, you know, that's after I had it, it goes away, and they auction
it. Nobody else drives it, right?
Yeah. And so they said, do you want it? I'm like, oh, you want it over Christmas? I'm like, hey, I got to drive like 900 miles over Christmas. He's like, I don't care. I was like, all right. He's like, oh, you know what? I don't want to deal with that between Christmas and New Year's. So do you want it until like the third, like after New Year's? I'm like, sure. And so I had it for a long time, and then this happened. So that's what's going to happen to your Accord.
This is the most ridiculous picture. I do have really nice wheels in the Accord. I don't think it's going to get stolen. So help me if I go out there tomorrow, my car looks like that. I'll just die laughing. I'll be like, Robbie's fault. They're going to call me and be like, Robbie made this happen. Karma.
All right. I had summers, and it was like wintertime, and I was up in Tehachapi, and the roads were really icy, and it still did so well, even in the summers. I was just like, wow. Well, they're gone now.
I'm going to test out my little Honda Accord. I'm going to take it out in the snow. We'll see. Unless it has summer tires, which I don't think it will. I must have all seasons on.
Just sliding all over the place.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you know you can support Wheel Bearings directly? Head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia and you can become a patron today. Your contributions will help fund the platforms and tools we use to bring the podcast to you. And exclusives and improvements are already on the way thanks to your generosity. So if you want to be part of an automotive podcast like no other, head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia. Well, I also had a large three-row SUV with an inline six-cylinder turbocharged engine. And guess what? It's also rated at 22 miles per gallon combined. Ooh. Although I have averaged just about 23 over the past week. You want to guess what it is?
Well, I see it.
I can't see it. We can see it.
At home, well, let's play along at home. Yes. Nope, that's not it.
Yeah.
Try again.
No, you got it wrong.
Nope, you're wrong too.
It is the 2024 Cadillac Escalade 4-wheel drive Platinum with the 3-liter Duramax diesel engine, which is a fantastic engine. This is an amazing piece of work that the GM did. It is, I think it's a little, I can't remember now. I think it's a little over 300 horsepower. It feels so smooth, because it's an inline six. I remember when they announced this engine, when they were launching the current generation of the Silverado, and I was talking at the reveal event to Dan Nicholson, who at the time was head of powertrain engineering, this was what, 2019, I think, when they originally announced this engine for the Silverado, and at that time Ford had a diesel available in the F-150. It was a 3-liter V6. Chrysler, Ram had a 3-liter V6 diesel available in the Ram 1500. And, GM did an inline six. And I asked Dan, why they opted for an inline six instead of a V6. And he said, well, because it's so smooth. We wanted it to be smooth. And I've driven a few different vehicles over the last several years, a couple of pickup trucks and now this Escalade. Actually, I've driven two different Escalades over the last couple of years with this engine. And it is just an amazing engine. It is so smooth, so powerful. It's 277 horsepower, but 460 foot-pounds of torque. Oof. Which, for a relatively large, this is the standard wheelbase Escalade, not the ESV. The curb weight of this thing, four-wheel drive and the diesel, 6,015 pounds, 3 tons. This is a 3-ton luxury SUV, and it's averaging 23 miles per gallon, which is really, really impressive. And it will also tow 7,800 pounds. Which, again, is also very useful. If you need something to tow, and give you, a very coddled ride, this is your vehicle. The ride quality and the handling is also shockingly good. This has a 4-wheel air spring suspension system. Independent. This generation of the GM's full size SUVs are the first to get. You guys can't hear me?
Oh,
we can hear you. There's a weird.
You might want to note it right there. There was a staticky thing that happened right there.
Huh. It was like a statically. It was like a staticky, like rolling your R's almost. It's like.
Yeah, that was strange. Okay. And now it's gone.
All right,
that's gone.
Well,
sorry, you saw us both going, am I only hearing that?
Or yeah, yeah. No, I couldn't Something's tell if you happening. Just couldn't hear me at all or what, because I didn't hear any of that.
Oh.
So anyway, this generation of GM's full-size SUVs is the first to have independent rear suspension, and they really did a fantastic job on it. So you got full air spring suspension on all four corners, plus MagnaRide dampers. Which, you know, the combination of that just makes this ideal. So you have a smooth ride, but very little body roll. You know, it handles shockingly well for a 3-ton SUV, you know, mm-hmm. on 22-inch wheels. You know, so mine were slightly smaller than the X7, only 22s. This one is finished in dark moon blue. Which is
it actually blue? Unlike
is it gray?
It is blue, car? but it's very dark. You know, it's dark. Nearly black. You know, so in sunlight you can see it looks blue, Escalade. But you know it's been mostly dark and really, overcast over the last week.
I can see the blue in the random pictures I Googled on that one. That's
yeah, so it's a good looking vehicle. I like it a lot.
Beautiful.
The last Escalade I had was the. Sport. It was white with all black trim, and it was kind of a stormtrooper look to it, which was just a little odd.
Stormtrooper.
Yeah, but this one, you know, the dark moon blue, you know, and it's got all the options on there, you know, so it's fully loaded. You know, this is the premium or platinum exclusive package on this one. So you got semi-aniline leather seats on all three rows, heated steering wheel, heated and cooled seats, although I haven't had to use the cooled seats. the seats massage you. So yesterday when I was driving back from over the other side of town, went to the NACTOY Awards in the morning, and then I was at the Autoline Studio in the afternoon, and driving home, had those massagers on there, felt really good. And this Escalade has OLED displays, so it's like 37 inches across. So you got two touch screens, a smaller 7.2-inch touch screen on the left-hand end where you can toggle between some of the various displays for the instrument cluster and some other controls, and then a 14-inch infotainment display on the right-hand side above the center, and then like a 17-inch infotainment display, 14-inch cluster display, all OLED. So it looks fantastic. 36 speaker AKG audio system, at wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. One of the things I really like on these, the wireless charging system, it's a slot. So you stick your phone down in there and it's got like the little rubberized, grips, you know, kind of like what you see in the cup holders a lot of times. So it fits different size cups. And so it actually, when you slide your phone down in there, it actually holds it in place. So when you go around a corner, your phone doesn't always slide off the wireless charger.
Like, that's like my pet peeve when the wireless charger won't hold your phone. I understand phones are very sizes,
yeah.
But just do one so that if you take or if you stop short or whatever, your phone's like whoosh, like yeah. Shooting
Everybody,
across the
just
car.
Just look at the way Cadillac does it. It's perfect.
Yeah,
it works.
I lost I left my phone in the EV6 GT.
How does the EV6 do theirs?
It's just, you just put it on there. But I was, you know, we were doing drifting.
Oh, no. Oh,
so
no.
I got out of the car and I just forgot my phone because it had slid underneath something. I had to call. It was a whole mess. I had to call somebody.
I have on occasion had to do that whole find my phone thing because it has slid off the car. It's somewhere underneath it. And I'm like, I cannot find it. I need to at least hear a region for where it may have slid to.
The options you have for the instrument cluster display in the Escalade, you know, you can have your standard kind of gauges and a couple of different formats in there that you can toggle through. But you can there's also on this one the night vision system. So there's an infrared sensor in the grill. So when you're driving at night, you can see everything. And one of the things it does, it has pedestrian detection. So the other night I was, when I was coming home, I came around the corner onto my street, and it was after dark, and there was somebody that was jogging, and I had toggled on the night vision display, and all of a sudden a bright yellow box, as I came around the corner, a bright yellow box appeared, you know, highlighting where this pedestrian was jogging down the side of the street. So, you know, that's a nice feature to have.
Could you see the person? Did you see the person before the car saw the person?
No. The car saw the person before I did.
Car saw the person first. Okay. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. And then there's also the augmented reality mode, which basically shows you the view, the same view you see looking out the windshield shows up in the instrument cluster. It's coming from the front, the cameras that are used for Super Cruise and the lane keeping assist in the front. But when you're using navigation, we're using the built-in navigation system. What it'll do is it shows you the prompts on the AR display. So, you know, if you're going straight down the road, you'll see an arrow in the lane that you're in. You have to stay in this lane. Or, you know, if you're turning, as you approach the intersection, you know, you'll see the arrows appears to be floating over the intersection. And as you get closer, you know, the arrow gets bigger. I would prefer to have that in the heads up display. You know, so yeah. I'm actually looking at the road, but it is kind of cool. It's a neat feature, but I think the night vision is probably a more useful feature in this case. And then this also had Super Cruise, and I took the opportunity. I looked up the map that GM has. You know, in 2022 they expanded Super Cruise availability to 400,000 miles of roads now. And it goes way beyond just divided highways where they started with. You know, so now on a lot of rural highways, you know, rural two-lane roads, you can get Super Cruise on there. And so I looked on the map to find some of the roads in my area, and I went and tried it out. And it actually works, and works really well, even on,
cool.
you know, a two-lane road. It won't stop, you know, for stop signs or traffic signals. So, you know, obviously with Super Cruise, you're still paying attention to the road and you have to stop on your own, but it'll follow the curves and everything and do the steering all hands free. So that worked really well. This was one of the first times though that I've actually had an issue with Super Cruise, you know, which makes it good that I was actually paying attention. And that was, driving back from the NACTOY Awards yesterday on I-696 on the north side of Detroit. They've been doing a lot of construction there, and there's been some lane shifts, and so there's some faint marks still on the pavement from where they had the lane shifts, and they've moved it back. And at one point, it got confused and actually started to pull over to out of the lane.
I've had that happen.
So I grabbed, I just grabbed the wheel and, you know, held it in the lane, and then it recovered itself pretty quickly.
I think they all have trouble with that. When you see the, like a lot of systems, when you have like they've shifted the lane and they remove the old fuzzy, and there's like that fuzz of old lane markings that you kind of sort of see. It confuses.
I've had that problem with other systems, with Blue Cruise and with Nissan system, but I haven't had that occur with Super Cruise before. This is the first time I've had it happen with Super Cruise. But you know, other than that, it worked, you know, pretty much flawlessly. You know, it does the auto lane changing. So you know, if the vehicle in front of you is going slower than your set speed, you know, it checks and sees if the lane to your left is open. If it is, you know, it'll say, "Hey, auto lane change." If you don't want it to change lanes, just tap the turn signal. If you don't do anything, then it will move over, do the pass, and then move back to the original lane that you were in. So, you know, proper lane etiquette, as you know, the way we should be doing it as human beings.
In
theory.
So, you know, for a full-size luxury SUV, you know, the Escalade is really, really nice. It's also quite pricey. Amazingly enough, yes. Altogether, total vehicle price on this one that I drove with the diesel. And also, there's no upcharge for the diesel on the Escalade. It's the same price whether you want the diesel or the 6.2-liter V8. And given that, I would, especially if I was towing, I would probably go with the diesel because it's so much more fuel efficient than the 6.2. All in, this was $120,815.
I was betting in my head $129, so that's less than I thought, but still all right. a lot. So
it's less than you thought.
So it's more affordable than the upcoming Escalade IQ by about $40,000. It's still quite expensive. You want to guess at the destination charge?
Oh, you can go first if you like. Who do you want? You want me to go first or you can go first?
No, I'll go first. I was going to say, I'm going to go
$995.
$996. $1995. Jeez. Whoa. I was not thinking it was
going to
be.
I was like 12, maybe 12.
That's the only thing. I was like $12.95. No, $995. Wow. $19.95?
Yep. When it's delivered, is it being carried by a bunch of like burly men, like glistening in oil,
singing a song,
like where they're holding with those sticks? Like it's like they're
wow.
like
I don't know how they deal like with customers, but the like guys that deliver from NAVS are definitely don't fit that description.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this one did come with the console refrigerator with freezer.
That makes it worth.
Oh, well, never mind.
Forget
anything I said. We're fools.
Fools, all of us.
So that's,
my gosh.
That's the 2024 Cadillac Escalade four-wheel drive Platinum with the 3-liter Duramax diesel and a 10-speed automatic.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of money.
It is.
It's a lot. But I feel like, you know what, if you have it, and I say this all the time, yes, this is a crazy, stupid amount of money, but if you have $120,000 and you can spend it on a car, spend it on whatever makes you happy, that makes you happy, buy it.
Going to buy a tank.
Yeah.
Going to buy a tank. Robbie's going to buy a tank.
Well, that's basically what this is.
I was going to say, it's just a tank.
It's about as big as a tank.
It's a pretty tank.
It's a tank with, like, a cooler, so... Yeah.
And a freezer. Don't forget the freezer.
And a freezer. The freezer part is ice cream.
Yeah. Keep your ice cream cold. All right. So yesterday, Nicole was here in Detroit.
Yes.
She had the honor of presenting one of the awards at the North American Car, Truck, and Utility Vehicle of the Year presentation Nicole is on the board of NACTOY.
Ooh.
I am. Brag. I was the secretary, and now I've moved up. I'm now the vice president.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So it's the president gets, like, murdered, you take over, you slide right.
If someone takes out Jeff Gilbert.
If something happens to Jeff Gilbert, then
you slide into the position.
I just take over, yeah.
It's like, hello, it's a coup.
But if the president decides that he doesn't want to leave after the next election, then, you know, you better be careful to make sure the rest of the jury doesn't try to hang you.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, be careful about that.
All sorts of complications.
A lot of things going on in these car awards.
You have no idea. It's cutthroat. Robbie.
So, as the vice president, you want to go through who the winners were?
Yes. So the for utility vehicle, it was the Kia EV9.
What?
And it wasn't even close.
It was not. We have all the numbers for what each is, because the EV9, the Kona EV, and the Genesis Electrified GV70 were the finalists. And the EV9
and all Hyundai Motor Group.
That EV9 is so good.
It's so good. It was funny. I think if they hadn't won, honestly, I would have been shocked. Would you have been shocked, Sam?
Oh, absolutely.
When you think about it, like of the cars I've driven and the SUVs, I drove the Korean version, which means that it has softer suspension, and it has, you know, the acceleration mapping is, you know, a bit more chill.
Different. Yeah.
And even though I was like, man, this thing is, geez, it really.
It's just so good. I think, and you know what, honestly, it does such a good job of the whole, like, okay, I'm an EV. I have to do EV stuff, but also really great family car. Like, it's just so good at doing both those things. And not
that price too, starting at 56. 56, 57, somewhere around there.
It gets, you know, at the high end, it gets pretty expensive. The GT line is about $75,000.
But there's options for not that. That's the thing. If you want to get into an EV in your family and you need a 3-row SUV, you can do it without having to spend $70,000, which is nice. I don't know how many families are willing to do that. I still think the biggest weakness of most EVs is the fact that they are hard to road trip in, because it's hard to plan it's hard to plan, you know.
On the other hand, this thing does,
that's the last thing you want.
It does charge really fast.
Yeah, if the charger works.
Yeah, if you find a working charger.
If you get a that's
That's
the challenge. You know, I'm just mumbling.
when I was in California last month, when I went to the Blazer Drive, I arrived a couple days early because I had something else I had to do in the LA area, and I drove down in an EV9, and I went an Electrify America station in Carlsbad, and I was at about 46% state of charge, it was charging, you know, and I charged it up to 80%, and it was staying all the way from 46 to 80%. It was above 170 kilowatts.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I mean, this is one of the amazing things about the, you know, the Hyundai Group EVs is not just that they have a high peak, but they actually maintain a very high rate of charging, you know, up until you get to about 80%. They ramp down a little bit between 50 and 80, but you know, you're still above 170, you know, at, you know, 75% state of charge. There's nothing else in the market that does that.
Right.
No, they invested really early in 800 volt system and a system that charges super quickly. So all those vehicles that are on the road, even, you know, 10 years from now, are still going to charge really quickly.
Right. So EV9.
EV9.
I love. And then for car, it was the Honda Accord, the Ioniq 6. I keep wanting to say Ioniq 5. Ioniq 6 and the Toyota Prius and the Prius 1.
Oh, yeah, that makes
Which
sense.
One did you vote for?
I actually voted. I split it because there were the two that I liked the best. I really liked the Accord and I really liked the Prius. And okay. I was a little torn. So I split my vote between Accord and Prius.
That's why I've had the Accord for so long. Trying to get it to worm into your heart.
But that one was closer. That one was a much closer.
Yeah, those are all three of those are really good.
I mean, the winner won, but it was like it was a runaway for the EV9. It was a more reasonable, like, there's some back and forth here on this category.
Yeah, that's a toughie.
Yeah, I split cool mine thing. Between all three, with the Ioniq 6 getting the most votes, and then the Prius, and then the Accord.
And then the Accord.
The acceleration mapping on the Ioniq 6 is so good.
It is good. But I thought it was cool that Prius won, because despite Toyota being Toyota and producing lots of great vehicles, they haven't won an award since 2005. And the last time they won. Yeah. And you know what they won for in 2005?
Yeah, but they don't update their cars for like
Prius.
The Prius. It was an early Prius. So they the last time they won was for the Prius, and now the Prius has won again. So they just, but you know, sometimes it's not that it's luck. Like the things that win are always good vehicles. But like if you're in a year, you're up against the Kia EV9 this year in a utility, that's tough. There's like such a standout. So if you happen to be in a year where you have a very good car, but there is just a phenomenal car, it's tough, you know, which is sort of a certain.
Toyota, Toyotas will keep those generations of cars in the market for it. Time, so they have a very short window where they could win, whereas other people they're update
pumping out new stuff
more.
And updates. So the Toyota Prius, and the last one was trucks. It was the Silverado EV, the Chevy Colorado, and the Ford Super Duty, and Super Duty won.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And I voted for Super Duty. I like this. I thought that was
also
great.
Voted for Super Duty.
Yeah, and that one was
the Colorado. Closer. I'm surprised.
What, that it didn't win?
No, that it was that high up.
Well, remember, there's not, you have to caveat this. There are like lots and lots and lots and lots of cars and lots and lots and lots of SUVs and a few new trucks. Like,
you don't have as many
to choose from to begin with. So
one of the candidates, you know, was the Ford Ranger, and Ford withdrew that one back in October because with the strike, they were not, one of the plants that got struck was the Wayne assembly plant where they build the Ranger. They knew they weren't going to be able to get it to market before the end of the year. So they withdrew it from consideration.
Okay. Yeah.
So you could have had that in there. But yeah, so I was happy with everything. I think they were good choices. I know people argue about them, but I think they're solid.
No, everyone's going to always argue. That's
people always argue. Somebody will come at me and go, how did you guys do that? I'm like, I don't know. Ask the other 49 people who voted. It wasn't just me, buddy.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm a world car juror, and you know, we end up picking an EV and like almost all the time. People are like, how could you? I'm like, have you driven these cars?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They're really good cars that just happen to be EVs.
Right. Like, I got that question. I had to do a couple of interviews after the whole thing. And, you know, you're picking EVs now. Yes. Welcome to 2024.
Yeah. Welcome.
Your thing.
I mean, if you look at what's new in the market, you know,
a lot of EVs.
There's more and more EVs coming out every year, you know, that are up for consideration. Yeah.
They're good.
You can't half-ass an EV anymore. You can't be like, here's my car that happens to have an electric motor.
You can try.
I mean, you can, but you're...
I think we have evidence otherwise. However,
yes. You can.
If you want to sell it.
Yeah, if you want to sell it, because you're not, it's not, you know, there's a lot more competition.
Yeah. Yeah. So there we go. 2024 NACTOY award winners.
NACTOY.
NACTOY.
What?
Do your little bump, 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 bump. Thank you. I can't do it as well as you can.
I should set up one of my 50 stupid
buttons to be that noise.
Yeah. Like, I have an app that actually has it in there too. The DJ app that I use for scratching actually has air horn. I was like, what's this button? It's all air horn. I'm all, It's all, bam. I'm like, ha. I'm like, I can never use this on stage because it's ridiculous. But we have it installed on one of our drum pads that we use for shows. And we don't ever, we use it very, very, like once every three shows, we'll just bam, bam, bam.
They don't need the button. They just need you. You are the noise. You make it perfectly. So what is it? Air horn?
Air horn.
Yeah.
Air horn. Yeah. So, okay.
All right. Next up, last year's NACTOY Truck of the Year
was
the Ford F-150 Lightning. And it, Ford seems to be following Tesla's pattern of just randomly changing the prices on their EVs all the time.
Just because.
And for reasons that are entirely unclear and unexplained, the price, you know, they've just adjusted the pricing again on the model year 24 Lightnings. But not on all, well, they've adjusted on all of them, but not all, most of them have gone up in price, but not all of them. So the Lightning Pro, the base 240 mile range Lightning Pro, has gone up $5,000 to $55,000 base price.
That's a big increase.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one that launched at $40,000. When the Lightning first came out in 2022.
So it launched at 40 and it's up to 55.
Yes. Oof. And you know, they had raised the price to 55 last year when the price of battery materials spiked, and then they dropped it back down to 50. And now it's back up to 55, even though the cost of batteries has not gone up. The XLT, the standard range XLT,
Wait. Okay. The Lightning Pro is now $57,000. It went up again.
that's probably the price including the destination.
Okay. Okay.
Because the destination destination charge. Susan. They also raised the destination charge. Destination charge was $1,995 for model year 23. They raised it to $22,095.
I know it's only $100, but it's $2,000.
Yes. so yeah, the 67 is including destination. So $65,000 MSRP for the standard range XLT. The extended range XLT, shockingly enough, has not changed. It is still $70,000. The Flash model, which is new for 2024, which is based on the XLT long range. That one has gone up by $3,500 from $70,000 to $73,500. The standard range Lariat is also unchanged, still at $70,000. The long range Lariat has gone up by $2,000, so it's now $79,495. So it just barely qualifies for the tax credits, which we'll talk about in a minute. And then The Platinum, amazingly enough, they actually reduced the price for the Platinum by $5,000.
It's still over that $80,000 threshold
So if you want a Platinum, you can't get a tax credit on it.
Yeah. So it's still above the threshold, but you're going to save $5,000 for reasons that make no, I don't know. Yeah.
And the regular Platinum is $85,000. The Platinum Black is $93,000.
Well, you know what? It worked. I mean, Tesla sold 1.8 million cars last year. So they're looking at that number and they're like, you know what?
They were having a problem selling for a while. Weren't there like they weren't selling as well as they were supposed to?
Yeah. And yeah, they actually cut one of the two shifts at the assembly plant.
So they cut production in half. Raised the price.
And then last month they like sold like gangbusters.
Right.
They raised the price
for model year 23 Lightnings that are still on the lot, or Lightning Platinums. You can get $7,000 off, $7,000 discount. Ooh. On that, which is, so basically makes it the same price as the model year 24 Platinum. Let's see what else, customers that, if you already ordered a 24 model year Lightning that had a price increase, they will honor the original price.
Yay.
That's good, because that would tick people off if they didn't do that.
Yeah. And then the Mach-E, which is no longer eligible for tax credits when you buy it, they are now doing a pass through of the $7,500 if you lease it. So
I love how they call it $7,500 red carpet lease cash.
Yeah.
That sounds so fancy.
Yeah.
Red carpet lease.
Red carpet lease cash.
Not just lease cash, but red carpet lease cash.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about those tax credits.
tax credits.
All
three cars.
Yeah. It's getting there. It's almost down to what it is. The rules keep getting adjusted for the tax credits. So starting January 1st of this year, they now have point of sale tax credits. So instead of buying a car now and then waiting until next year when you file your taxes to claim that tax credit, you can now get it as an instant rebate at the time of purchase, which means that it actually lowers your monthly payment. So
bam,
really truly does become more affordable.
Bam.
Assuming you can find an EV that still qualifies for a tax credit at all.
I just clicked the list and I thought
I
thought it wasn't refreshing, and I just realized that's the whole list. I thought it was dropping off.
Bunch of the vehicles that were eligible before January 1st are no longer eligible, because now they're starting to roll in the requirements, the domestic content requirements for the batteries. So a bunch of vehicles that still qualified last year no longer qualify.
Womp womp.
The only GM EVs that still qualify for a tax credit are the Bolt and the Bolt EUV.
$7,500. It's a deal if you can get it before they run out.
Yes.
Right?
Because they ended production about 3 weeks ago. But there's probably still some floating around on dealer lots. So if you can find a new Bolt on a dealer lot, you can get $7,500 off right at the time of sale. So
bam.
So $20,000 for a Bolt.
Yeah.
$20,000 for a Bolt. And if you live in like California, or if you live in other like states, and then you can get an EV with 250 miles for under $20,000.
Yeah.
Bam.
Bam.
The Chrysler Pacifica plug-in hybrid, still eligible for $7,500 if you want one of those.
If you want one.
I like the Pacifica plug-in hybrid. It's a good vehicle. Like, you know, it gets 33 miles of electric driving range.
It's a good car. My only problem is that it doesn't have stow and go because of the battery.
Right.
Yeah.
You gotta take the seats out.
Only for the second row seats. There's no stow.
Second row only. Yeah. You can do it in the third row. Seats.
Yeah.
You still get.
Yeah.
That's it. Only problem with that. And that's because, you know, it's a PHEV.
Yeah.
You got to put the battery somewhere.
Yeah. For Ford, the Escape plug-in hybrid and the F-150 Lightning are still eligible.
The Escape only gets 37. It's down to half, or roughly half.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, because you feel like you should get more because you bought an Escape.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Everything else on the Escape platform is better than the Escape.
The Jeep Grand Cherokee and Wrangler 4xEs also eligible for $3,750. Hmm? The Lincoln Corsair Grand Touring also eligible for $3,750. That's a plug-in hybrid. A few of the Rivian R1Ss and R1Ts, the entry level Rivians, are eligible. So those that are under the $80,000 price limit, you can get $3,750 on those. Because the cells, the minerals, they don't qualify for the $3,750 for the critical minerals, but they do for the components because the battery packs are built here, assembled here.
Cool.
And then Tesla, the Model 3 Performance is the only Model 3 that's still eligible. And the standard range and the long range Model 3s are no longer eligible. And been trying to figure out why that is. The standard range is obvious because it's a CATL, it's a Chinese battery, yeah. So that disqualifies it. It's not clear why the Model 3 long range isn't eligible. But looking at the some of the data in the EPA fuel economy Excel spreadsheet, there's some different specs on the battery in that, so it may be that they're getting the cells from China for that one.
Yeah.
And then the Model X long range apparently also falls under the $80,000 price cap, so it's eligible. And then the Model Ys are eligible for $7,500, and
this
that's it.
That's a short.
That list. Is the entire list.
Womp womp. You know what? Lease.
Yeah. If you lease, most manufacturers now are doing the $7,500 pass through on leases. And, you know, there's a lot of good reasons to lease an EV instead of buying one right now. So if you go and lease one, you can get a much better deal because you can get that $7,500 off towards the lease.
Yeah. Plus, you know, in 3 years, everything will be NACS.
And GM says that their other EVs, their Ultium EVs, the Silverado, the Blazer, the Hummer, and the Lyriq, will be eligible again soon. There were apparently some small number of Chinese sourced components in there that disqualified them. So they expect they're resourcing those components from different suppliers. And so they expect those to be back eligible sometime in the next few months. And okay. Who knows, maybe by then they'll actually even be able to build them.
Bum, 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 bum. Well, they can build them just very slowly.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. The Porsche Taycan. The Taycan was already a really fast EV. Now there's a version coming soon that is going to be really, really, really fast. Much
Why
faster.
Not make it faster.
The time that they're cutting off at the 20. What?
So they've got a new version of the Taycan that they haven't given specifics yet, but you know, it's speculated that this is going to be a 3-motor version because the current one's 2 motors. So a 3-motor that their Motor Trend is calling the Taycan Turbo GT. They took it to the Nürburgring Nordschleife, and it ran, it's a fast lap, 26 seconds faster than the previous Taycan Turbo S. 26
seconds.
That's a whole commercial on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's ridiculously fast. And when Tesla decided to pick a fight with Porsche, I was like, oh no.
That is also.
You knew
this was coming, and they were going to be patient about it because that's how Porsche is. Like, yeah, well, don't worry about it. We got this.
But it's awesome. Maybe because they picked the fight, that's why we have this little beautiful little thing.
And that time, the time of 7 minutes 7.55 seconds, is also 20 seconds faster than the Model S Plaid.
So
there is a stupidly fast, and even more stupidly fast Taycan coming. okay. BYD, they don't sell cars in North America. They sell a lot of cars in China and in a bunch of other countries, including Europe. In fact, as of 2023, they sell more plug-in vehicles than anybody else, including Tesla. They sold, I think it was like 2.5 million, or no, sorry, 3.1 million plug-in vehicles, including, and they only build battery electrics and plug-in hybrids. So Tesla still sold slightly more battery electric vehicles than BYD last year, but I think that'll probably change this year. Last year, Tesla delivered 1.8 million battery electrics, and BYD was 1.6, and then a little over 1.4 million plug-in hybrids. But their newest EV is the Seal, which is the sedan that they showed off at the Munich IAA show. And I saw it there, and it's a really impressive looking car. Motor Trend had a chance to drive it recently in Europe. And overall, they were pretty impressed. I mean, this is a Model 3 sized sedan. It's got a range, a WLTP range of 323 miles with the big battery, and goes 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds. And this is with a lithium iron phosphate battery, which is particularly impressive. And it's also about $6,000 or $7,000 cheaper than a Model 3. And so, you know, this is a pretty impressive car. And I mean, it looks great. It's got a really nice interior. It feels a lot more premium. The only notable issues that they had, that Motor Trend had with this thing, were the ADAS system was beeping too much, you know, giving too many warnings. The steering feel was too light, and they weren't that impressed with the charging. And that one's fair. The charging speed, it'll charge up to 150 kilowatts, but it takes like 30 minutes to go from 30 to 80% charge.
Oh, that's a long time.
Which is kind of slow.
That's slow.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they ever decide, you know, if BYD ever decides to enter the U.S. market, they are going to be a serious competitor for everybody.
Right now, it says no, right? The plan is not.
No plans right now. But they are selling it in Mexico.
Yeah.
And in Mexico, the rear wheel drive Seal is priced at $45,270, and the all wheel drive is $51,670. In China, I think the base price is something like it's just under $27,000. Okay. For the rear drive version. So, you know, if you go to Mexico, if you live in Mexico, you can get the BYD Seal, and it's
right now.
It's pretty impressive. So you might want to take a look at this if you're looking for an EV in Mexico.
Cool.
So next week, in fact, tomorrow, flying to Las Vegas for CES, Stellantis back in October or November, mm-hmm. while the strike was still going on, announced that they were pulling out of the LA Auto Show and CES. Now the other day, they said, yeah, we're done with auto shows entirely.
Which, here's the thing, is if you do an auto show, you're an automaker, let's say you have the 9 a.m. slot for your news. Yay, everyone sees your new car, blah blah. 9:30. Guess what? Your news just got moved down the blog roll. 9:45. Oh, there's another piece of news. 10 o'clock. Oh, there's another piece of news.
Yeah, I mean this is the issue automakers have had for a long time with auto shows. You know, especially since all this stuff started getting covered online. You know, by the middle of the day, you're off the front page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're gone.
Yeah. And so, you know, most automakers are doing their reveals at standalone events away from auto shows now. So that means, no more Camp Jeep at the Chicago Auto Show or any other auto show. So you won't be able to go over those big hills, the 29-foot hill in a Wrangler, inside the McCormick Center next month.
I mean, it makes sense. I guess it's sad because you think, oh, it'd be really nice to have that stuff at the auto show, especially as a consumer, but it's expensive as sin to be there. Mm-hmm. And like you said, in terms of news, they lose the news cycle really fast. So you really do have to evaluate, is it worth, do you get the consumer spend back for the outrageous spend to be there?
Yeah. I mean, it's several million dollars. And, you know, and they don't, automakers don't spend nearly as much as they used to, you know, in the early 2010s and, you know, the 2000s, they would be spending, you know, upwards of $10 million building these giant booths and,
right.
You know, those have all gone away. I remember, I think in 2018 or 19, you know, Ford used to do this giant two-story booth at the Detroit Auto Show and at other auto shows. And, you know, after the show, they'd have to pack it up and they'd move it to another auto show. And then they changed and they redesigned their booth basically with a bunch of blue containers, shipping containers. And they packed everything into the containers and then just stack up the containers to make the booth. And then at the end of the show, they just pack everything back into the containers and move it out.
Move it away. Yeah.
In the last 2 years, you know, the Detroit Auto Show, it's basically just been Stellantis, GM, and Ford. And, you know, now it's just GM and Ford. And I wonder if even those two will even bother with the Detroit show this year.
They talk about I don't know how long auto shows are going to stick around as auto shows, honestly.
At least in North America.
I think places where you make news, I think that's coming to an end.
Yeah,
I think we're going to have an auto show and you go in, you like see all mm-hmm. the cars that are there. And I think for people who like to see new cars without having to go to a dealership and be able to see a lot of cars, I think they're great for that. But I think for news, I think we're going to see that's going to slowly go away. You know, I talked to the German automakers like a couple of years ago about this. They're like, what's the value when we can just do this? It's cheaper for us to fly a bunch of you people to Germany and show you like the new car and have the news cycle for like a week versus like, oh gosh, we got to ship all this gear over to Detroit and it's the same people covering it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So no more auto show. It's going to disappear. Yep. They're going to be gone poof any minute now, I think.
You can still go and sit in the car, though. Regular people.
The Japan show was actually really good. I mean, all of the Japanese brands were there. Some Chinese, some Germans were there. I mean, it was a huge show. And IAA was here in the really U.S.
I don't know. It depends on
I don't think it will.
I don't think so either. I think
I hear a lot of like chatter about the cost of a U.S. auto show versus other places just being like
way more expensive here.
Yeah, astronomical.
I know it's astronomical here. I didn't know if it was like also
Detroit apparently is not only was it really expensive, it was a pain in the ass for the Germans.
Yeah,
they're just like expensive, but also they're just like, oh my god, these guys are treating us like junk.
Oh jeez. Yeah. Well, there you go.
So University of Michigan. Did a study over the last several months looking at the total cost of ownership for electric versus gasoline vehicles. And they found that it varies widely. It depends a lot on where you live and what type of vehicle you're buying. And in a lot of cases, it's not necessarily more cost effective over the life of the vehicle to actually have an EV. A couple of things, a couple of big takeaways from this. One, if you're relying on public DC fast charging, you're not going to save any money driving an EV. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you more just in electricity in most places. Some places it might be a little bit cheaper, but not by much. Most places it's going to be more expensive to DC fast charge your EV. So if you're going to get an EV, you know, the best way to do it is to AC charge it. It's much more cost effective. But even with that, you know, they looked at 14 cities. And as an example, the cost of ownership of an electric midsize SUV varied by $52,000, depending on where you were.
That's huge.
Yeah. That's looking at, you know, the cost, the purchase price of the vehicle, insurance, maintenance, repairs, as well as the energy costs. So, for gas vehicles, you know, the cost of gas, or for EVs, the cost of electricity. And obviously, you know, electricity costs vary widely across the country, but so do other factors like insurance. One thing they did find is that, you know, insurance costs for EVs are generally quite a bit higher than for electric vehicles. And I think a big part of that, you know, in most of the EVs right now, you know, the average, you know, the largest percentage of the EV fleet right now is still Teslas, and they are very expensive to repair. And thus the insurance costs are very high, much higher than for a typical gasoline vehicle. So even though you may be saving some money on service and maintenance, you're going to pay in other ways. And you know, the charging scenarios, the home charging lowers your lifetime costs of an EV by about $10,000 on average, and as much as $26,000, you know, depending on where you live.
I am flabbergasted, but apparently Boston pays more for electricity than San Francisco.
Yeah. I'm not flabbergasted because I'm not in Boston. I mean, I'm in New Hampshire, which different states, different rules for electricity. But I can see that because I think the taxes are very different and the surcharges and things are very different in Mass than they are in New Hampshire. Somehow that just doesn't surprise me.
We pay a lot for electricity in the Bay Area.
I don't know. It doesn't say that it's more. It just says Boston's San Francisco, LA, Boston. Like, you know, San Francisco could be a order of magnitude higher, but still they could be one of the most expensive. You know what I mean? It was only 14 cities.
I'm literally only looking at home charging costs. Yeah. I'm just looking at that graph. I'm like, I wonder where San Francisco. I'm like, whoa, how could somebody else be worse than us?
The biggest savings come when you compare smaller and lower range EVs. The EVs are substantially less expensive to operate and to own compared to a similar gas vehicle across every city in this study. And then the bigger and longer range the EV is, the closer it is to basically being no savings or even costing more.
So the thing everyone's been asking for.
Yeah.
Also costs less than the long run.
I think for trucks, like for large trucks, and SUVs, you know, longer range trucks, the payback time to own those vehicles compared to a gasoline equivalent was about 20 years. Whew. So
just dragging these giant 200 kilowatt batteries around. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the crazy thing about these giant trucks and coming to market with them. And I'm just like, you just, for the Hummer, you could build like four Chevy Bolts.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Probably more than that.
Yeah.
No, it's about four Bolts worth of battery.
It's four Bolts of battery. Whew.
Whew. So, some things to consider, you know, if you're considering buying an EV, you know, don't look for the longest range EV. And for now, at least, you know, if you can charge at home, that is your best option.
That's the money right there.
If you can AC charge at work or, you know, somewhere else, you know, that's going to be a lot more cost effective. If you're planning on buying an EV and fast charging it all the time and basically using it like a gasoline vehicle, you're not going to save any money.
Also, you're going to decimate the battery.
Yeah.
Yeah, because definitely. Fast charging it creates the lifetime of your battery is going to diminish because you're fast charging.
One last item for this week. We've talked in the past about Tesla and their real world range of most of their cars versus what's on their EPA labels and how there tends to be a fairly substantial gap between those two. Usually not in favor of the consumer. If you look at most of the range tests that have been done by all kinds of different publications, real world range versus EPA label, or even, you know, in Europe, you know, against WLTP numbers, Teslas usually fall somewhere around 20 to 25% short of their label values. Department of Justice has been looking into this for Tesla for the last several months, and they just announced that they are lowering the estimated range for most of their vehicles by fairly significant amounts. The Model Y long range goes down by 20 miles from 330 to 310 miles. But the Model S Plaid, this is the biggest one, it went with the 19-inch wheels. It goes from 396 miles to 359 miles. The Model Y Performance goes from 303 down to 285. So, you know, these are getting a lot closer to what you can actually expect for real-world range on these. And even these might still be a little on the optimistic side.
Yeah. Well, they're using a different adjustment factor than anyone else. It's like Tesla and Lucid are both using the same sort of testing cycles and adjustment factors. And when I originally started driving the Lucids, like Tesla, they were lower than the numbers. But then the last Lucid I drove, it was like right on par. So I think they're doing something at Lucid to adjust that. Whereas Tesla was, I think, yeah, they're like, we can't do anything else to make this better. So let's. Yeah. So, anyway, when you buy a car, you know, there's a bunch of reasons why your range isn't going to hit the EPA. Same thing when you're driving a gas car, why you're not getting MPG. But when it's consistent and you're seeing like people who test cars get the same sort of numbers, then you're just like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it all comes down to the three T's: temperature, terrain, and technique. Yeah. It depends on how you drive, where you drive, you know, what kind of conditions you drive in.
Can we call it the Tony test?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. It's Tony.
Anything else you guys got for this week?
No.
Nothing going on this week.
We're going to CES. I'm going tomorrow. You're going tomorrow too.
Yeah. I'll be there. I get there. I get into Vegas around 2 o'clock, I think.
Oh, I think that's what time I get there. Maybe we're getting on the same.
Arrive at the same time.
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to be picked up by the same car. I've already been offered a bunch of money to like give up my seat for a later flight. And I'm like, maybe. Yeah, I boarded at 12:15. So let's see what time I land.
I take off at 12:53 Eastern, and land at 2:30 Pacific time.
In Las Vegas, wait for it. Here it comes. I'm sorry, I'm making everyone wait on an audio podcast so I can figure out whether or not I get to ride in a car. I land at 2:49.
Okay.
We're going to be in the same shuttle.
Yeah, probably.
They're going to make you wait for me. Sorry.
I will not be in a shuttle. I will be happily at home. I'm going to just relax tomorrow. Tomorrow's a relaxy Saturday for me.
Whatever.
I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning yesterday, Robbie.
Okay.
I like
you had to fly from Boston, drive from Nashua to Boston, fly from Boston to Detroit, then fly from Detroit to Cincinnati and back to Boston, and then drive back to Nashua. So
yeah, so okay. I deserve my Saturday of nothing.
Yeah, I'm tired just thinking about that.
Just thinking about it, right?
All right. Well, we will talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.